You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely f***ed up?
They're saying I should think stuff like this. They're saying
something is wrong with me.
How did you get to be so cynical?
Practice.
Welcome to episode 7 of Positive Cynicism, the Daylight Savings Edition. We may have lost an hour during the Daylight Savings transition, but for me, I lost a day in posting this podcast, which I always find it odd if when people on podcasts mention dates and times and things, because if you listen to this 6 months down the road, a daylight savings time reference makes no sense at all. So why don't we just jump right into the show? And this one is going to be probably short and sweet. Well, at least short. The idea that I originally had that I kind of teased on last week's episode, I haven't had the time to really formulate the idea and do some research that I need to do. So I was trying to figure out what's a backup topic. And I really didn't have one, which is why this show, for those listening on the release, is why it came out late. Back on the first episode, I did a little bit about the Oscar nominations that had just came out and mentioned that I had not seen any of the movies, so I didn't know what was good or how the nominations stacked up, if I agreed with them or not. I finally saw one movie. I finally went and saw La La Land based on recommendations of several people. And I knew going in that I had to temper my expectations because I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just the cynic in me that if something is really popular, I tend to not like it. I don't know why. So that's why I wanted to give myself some time after La La Land came out and I was starting to get all this praise and hype that I wanted to kind of let that die down a bit before seeing the movie. And I went to the theater and I was actually debating between La La Land and King of Kong or Kong of King, or King of Kong is a great documentary about Donkey Kong video game players. Kong Skull Island is the movie that is in theaters now. And when I got to the theater, Kong was about 90% sold, whereas there were only 5 people in the La La Land screening, so I decided to see that instead. And at first I was like, okay, open mind, just see this. And I really enjoyed the opening musical number. I think it set the tone very well and was very well done. And then the rest of the movie happened. And I have to say, if La La Land is the best or second best movie of the year, I know why I don't go see movies as often as I used to. I actually enjoyed the Ghostbuster remake and Batman v Superman much more than La La Land. I can understand why people like La La Land in terms of the style and the technical aspect of the film. But you strip that away, I was bored out of my mind. I contemplated walking out probably at least 3 or 4 times throughout the movie. I thought Emma Stone did a good performance and can understand why she won the Oscar for Best Actress. Ryan Gosling, who I'm a fan of, I found him to be very dull and uninteresting as a character. And I also thought the movie highlighted the shallowness and just the vapidness of Hollywood. And it's one of the reasons why, even though I work in Hollywood, I don't like Hollywood. Totally understand. That's just me. I'm trying to figure out, trying to think why people are so enamored with the movie, unless it's just from the technical standpoint. And I've not gone back to read any reviews or thoughts on the film. I just don't get it. I don't understand why. I don't I don't understand how this movie kind of took the country by storm for a month or two. So if you have seen La La Land and you care to give me your thoughts and tell me why you liked it, I'm very interested. Hit me up on Twitter at Chad Smart, and or go to the Positive Cynicism Facebook page and let me know. So we will. And if you've seen any of the other Oscar movies and if you felt one was better than La La Land, let me know. I'm curious to know what people's opinions are. And I think this brings up a bigger question. Over the last, well, probably since the year 2000, what is the best picture winner that will be remembered in 30 years as a film that people still watch? Because it seems like a lot of the movies, especially even over the last 10 years, don't, a lot of these films just kind of come out, they get hyped for the Oscars, and then they disappear, never to be spoken of again. Off the top of my head, I'm going to, willing to bet that Lord of the Rings, Return of the King is the only movie that the majority of non-cinephiles have watched more than 3 or 4 times. And part of that is probably because they seem to be on, the Lord of the Rings movies seem to be on TNT or TBS about every other weekend. I mean, even before the Oscars, the weekend of the Oscars, I was sitting trying to think of what movie won last year, and I couldn't even remember that the movie Spotlight existed, much less that it won the award. And I'm not trying to say, like, I have to remember everything for it to be legitimate. Going over this list of film winners, like, do people still talk about Birdman or 12 Years a Slave, Argo, The Artist, King's Speech, Hurt Locker, Slumdog Millionaire, maybe, but I guess The Departed, being a Martin Scorsese film, probably people still think about, but yeah, there's just nothing on this list save Lord of the Rings and Gladiator from the 21st century that seem like films that will hold up. And I had this discussion with a friend recently too. It's not even the best picture winners, but what movies coming out now will be held up as, I don't want to say classics, but movies that you're going to tell your kids about in 20 years. What films are coming out that today's teens, kids are going to reflect back as the movies of their childhood? And the answer that jumps right out is all the superhero movies, because that seems to be, those are the films that are flooding the market right now. I look at this as a child of the 80s who grew up on cable television, on HBO and the Movie Channel, and movies that just seemed to constantly be playing that maybe I didn't see in the theater, but I caught on TV that, or video even. You know, movies like Real Genius, Just One of the Guys, Can't Buy Me Love, Breakin' 2. These are films that I'm not by any means saying are great films from a technical standpoint, but they're movies that resonated with me to stay with me 20, 30 years later. Are there films like that being made today, or not even being made? It's more of, everything seems to be very disposable, and as soon as something else comes out, or a movie will come out 1 week, be really hyped, and then the next week it's forgotten for whatever the next flavor of the week is. You know, home video has seemingly dropped. So yeah, I don't know if obviously this is a topic that I can't prove anything for at least 20 years, and then we'll see even where the state of cinema and home viewing is at that time to see what movies hold up or what entertainment is like for the next generation of moviegoers. Anyway, just to recap, La La Land, not that good, in my opinion. Home movies or movies are not as... movies are not as memorable to me now as they were, and I think that is just me. Speaking of movies being memorable, the question of the week is, if you could have any superpower, what would it be? And as soon as I heard this question, before I even formulated an answer, I already had a quote ready to go to answer this question. And the quote comes from the movie Mallrats, when Brody is asked if he could be a comic book character, what character would he be? You know, the answer he gives is, wow, that's a great question. Tough one. Though, I mean, what does one gauge his response on? Physical prowess? Keen detection skills? The ability to banter well with supervillains? And I have not seen Mallrats in probably 5-6 years, but that quote has stuck with me. I saw La La Land less than 24 hours ago as of this taping, and I couldn't... the only thing I remember is chicken on a stick. But to answer the question, if I could have any superpower, what would it be? After little debate, I have to say the answer is teleportation. Given the amount of traveling that I do, it would be much nicer if I didn't have to wait in an airport and then fly 5-6 hours at a time. If I could instantly transport from one place to another, as long as my luggage would come with me, that I can't think of a better superhero power. Flight, invisibility, it's all kind of generic, but teleportation, I think, is the superpower of the future. Thanks for listening this week. As always, you can catch me on Twitter at Chad Smart. Be sure to listen to all the other podcasts here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. You have Greg Mahochko's Nerds United podcast, which deals with superheroes and comic books. He also has the Five Heart podcast, dealing with Nebraska Cornhusker sports. And check out Kevin Huntsberger's My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, for all your wrestling needs. So much to listen to here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.